I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications. Because He inclined His ear to me, therefore I will call on Him as long as I live. Let's turn to another Hebrew Bible lesson, this one from the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. You can find that in your pew Bible, in the beginning part of the Hebrew Bible, on page 56. You'll find this passage, Exodus 12, 1 through 14. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month, they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, and the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roast it over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson this evening comes from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 11. Verses 23 through 26 can be found on page 163 in your pew Bible. "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, He took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
As our brothers and sisters are taking their seat, let us turn to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17 and 31b through 35. This is in your pew Bible in the New Testament section on page 101. And this is a familiar story, a familiar setting. We're probably familiar most with the liturgy of the Eucharist, which is pretty much what Daniel read, and what we will do again verbatim in just a few minutes. But perhaps we're not always thinking about the context of it. So listen to the other parts of this story. John chapter 13, 1 through 17, 31b through 35. "Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that His hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You'll never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is one of those times when I wish I could do it without the microphone, but I know that Mike is recording it, so that's for the folks who aren't here, so that's good. But this is also one of the few times in the year when I don't prepare something to say to you, hoping that the Holy Spirit will speak through me, and I believe that will be the case. I wonder if you've ever had the joy, the honor of being with someone right before their death. Have you ever had that experience? I say it's an honor because I've been asked to be with someone to tell me their last wishes, their last interests, what they're feeling, what they're thinking, and have felt honored to be there. Well, clearly in this case, Jesus knew that this was the last time he would break bread with these brothers and with sisters. I'm thinking that the followers were there. The 12 are mentioned, but maybe there were others. But he recognized that this was the last time he would eat with them, that he would share Passover with them, that he would break bread with them. But they couldn't understand that. I also think about the times in my life, and I ask you to think about this, the times in your life, when you look back upon the last time you saw someone who died, but only afterwards realized that that was the last time. And it makes me wonder how much sweeter it would be if we knew somehow that this was the last opportunity we have to be with someone. And obviously the lesson there is that perhaps we ought to share our love with other people as though it were the last time we would be with them, because it might be. My point in all of this is to help you to think about that last time. We call it the Last Supper because we know that it was the last time. Jesus knew that. His followers didn't. Jesus was showing them, was taking that last opportunity to teach them one final lesson, to really show them the nature of God. He talked about glory, and yet he was the one taking off his robe, kneeling on the floor, washing their feet, drying their feet, an act that should have been done, normally would have been done by a servant. And he said to them, "This is the model that I have for you. What I have done, you ought to do as well." And then the final point, the final lesson, the final commandment, and you probably know this, that's where we get Maundy Thursday. It's a rough version of the Latin word that means mandate or commandment. So the final lesson he had for them was that they ought to love each other the way he loved them. And that other people looking at these followers of Jesus of Nazareth would understand who they were because they saw that love that they held for each other. How many of you in your own family, is it always loving and kind and gracious? Yeah, okay. I don't think any of us could raise our hand because reality steps in and we often, from my experience, I'm often hardest on those I love the best. And I wonder if sometimes we take each other for granted, even here in our church community. I wonder if the best way that we can honor that one who is gone, just perhaps as it is with those we love in this life, perhaps the best way to honor them is to love each other in the way that Jesus loved his followers, the way that Jesus loves us. He calls it a commandment. Perhaps it's the best way to memorialize the one whom we love. My brothers and sisters, Jesus knew what was happening that night. He understood after going to the garden at Gethsemane what would happen. He recognized Judas would betray him. And we get that part of the story as well. But his followers were terrified because he was saying words that were crazy, that didn't make any sense. And that's the point. God's love is not logical. It doesn't make any sense. It is more wonderful, more all-encompassing, more 360-degree different from anything we've ever experienced. And it is the way we should love each other and our neighbors near and far with the same love with which God loves us. Amen.